RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, the drive is live, and if I listened yesterday, I know Reggie is well on his way to go watch this Independence Bowl between Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Tech, because he is into the bowl games.
Up in Shreveport, baby. The hell is the place to be right now. Them casinos, boy, some good grub up there too now.
Man, I ain't watched a quarter of a non-playoff game. I have not watched a quarter of these bowl games. Not a single.
No Texas Bowl for you?
Didn't happen, man.
You didn't catch U of H upset LSU?
I was watching that Packers. They was up against that Packers-Ravens game.
Tanner Cozio, man. That dude finished out the Houston career really nice.
Yeah.
Connor Wegman, the LSU killer.
I pulled up when they was taking knees and wondered, why is this game on so late? Why they start this? Why we got an 8:30 kick?
Definitely didn't enjoy getting home at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, man. Hey, shout out to you. But I wonder if Reggie's really gonna go watch this Independence Bowl. I really do. Independence Bowl used to be a real respected bowl. Now they got Coastal Carolina. No offense to those people. But shout out to everybody who has joined us here on YouTube. Twitch, text line 713-572-4610 on this wonderful Tuesday. A lot to get to today. We're going to do a little tape drop Tuesday here in a second, but Clint, some news for this game on Sunday that has some importance. The Colts are going to start Riley Leonard over Phillip Rivers in the finale. The Indianapolis Colts are turning to their rookie, Riley Leonard, as their starting quarterback Sunday versus the Texans, ending the veteran Phillip Rivers run after coming out of a 5-year retirement. So, this game becomes easier, you think, right, for the Texans with Riley Leonard in there over Phillip Rivers? I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip Rivers would be one that, you know, if there's anything there to be had versus this Texans defense, then Phillip was more likely to find it than Riley Leonard.
I was concerned about Phillip.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, there's no question. I mean, it's a rough go, but he's out there surviving and just showing everybody how powerful it is to play the quarterback position between the ears at an elite level. You can be decrepit. You can be falling apart physically and still be in the game in the fourth quarter. So you can still be in those one score games, Ron. Even if you're 5 years removed from the game.
I bet my man said. Man said, yeah, you know what? I hang him up here where I had to run into Neil Hunter and Will Anderson.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I was concerned about. I hang this thing up. He said, boy, I saw Justin Herbert out there struggling. He said, let me go ahead, Riley. You take these hits. You take these hits since we ain't got nothing else to play for. But that's where they are. The Colts, they're going to start Riley Leonard in this game. Phillip Rivers won't get to see Phillip Rivers. As I think he is done. And now he got to wait another 5 more years before he gets in the hall. Somebody should do something for him. Like, damn it, he was supposed to be on the ballot right now. Now he got to wait another 5 years.
He re-upped his insurance, though, for all them damn kids.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a pretty good bonus.
Give and take. I wonder how much he made.
Got him another year service.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That another year service, nothing needs it. But that another year, service, when he starts collecting that old pension plan, it's going to be, shoo.
How many years he have in there? About 15?
Oh, he's got, yeah, I don't know. 15, it's up 16? There.
Yeah, he played a long time. But no Phillip Rivers in this thing. A lot to get to today as we get you ready for the week going into the holiday. The Texans will finish out the regular season still with slight hopes in winning the division. They just need Cam Ward, who has played better over the last month. They need Cam Ward and the Titans to go into Jacksonville. And as many of you have told me, waiting for the Jags to jag. That's what they need.
They always do.
Okay. For the Texans to be able to host a home playoff game and win the division. You know what? I have not seen that guy text in a while that says, tell me, Ron, some guy at 0-3 and every week until maybe about 3 weeks ago was texting in every week. Ron, tell me again how they're going to win the division. They're still not going to, but I have seen that text.
A lot closer
slow down.
He's comfortable with it.
Yeah, slow that down just
a bit. The arrow's pointed up.
All right, it is a Tuesday, and I know, Clint, you've been watching the All-22 film hard, and let's hand this thing over. What did you see? What did you see in this game where it started off great for the offense, and there were some, obviously, a different look after the first few drives, and then the defense – I held another opponent under 20 points. What'd you see on the field?
Well, I tell you, on the defensive side of the football, I mean, and this isn't something that folks don't already know, but I mean, Herbert just didn't he just refused, other than maybe once or twice, to even throw the ball in Derek Stingley's direction. And on top of that, man, this defense, you know, we'd watch the film after, even last year, before, just with D'Amico's defense, obviously the last couple of years, and. You know, we'd always look over and go, boy, if that quarterback would have had another second, man, there was a guy running screaming wide open for a long touchdown. And you could do that three or four times a game. This, I think that's the step this defense has taken, Ron. There is just far less of that. I mean, this was a game to me where they were able to pressure and stop the run and handle business with the down four. And there was just 9 times out of 10, 90+% of the time, there was just nowhere to throw the ball. Short, deep. I mean, they are, when he talks about sticky coverage, when you talk about running routes for guys, this was a clinic tape for me. I think on the defensive side of the football, I think there's a couple of things that stuck out that people may not already know or be aware of. Some newness, right? 38 in the secondary had a hell of a game. Wallace. Had a hell of a game, and it's not just about.
D'Amico spoke about him a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but this is one where I'm talking about at one point he had probably two. Remember the tackle of Henry Toa off in the flats on the right hand side or underneath when he ran out there and he was one on one with the running back and he makes the tackle. I mean,
it got Hampton down. Yep.
Yeah, I mean Wallace had two of those, not on necessarily Hampton, but on a runner or a pass catcher in the open field that were just. If they get past him, it becomes an explosive play and not just a play. So 38, he earned the right to get a new number. He earned the right to get a new number, Ron. 38 ain't it.
What's wrong with 38? You know,
he's too narrow that we're wearing 38. 38's not it. He needs to change his number. And he earned the right. He earned the right to do that, I believe. Another part that people may be wondering about, we've talked a lot about the interior defensive line. I don't think that they have the quality depth that they once had, like game-changing type dudes. But rest assured, D'Amico Ryans and Nico Collins and Nick Caserio, they've got that interior defensive line playing lights out. I mean, that was a team, as you mentioned, yeah, they've lost their tackles and they've lost some old linemen and stuff, but that was a team that's rooted in a run game and being more physical and running the ball downhill with some power backs. And whether you're talking about Sheldon Rankins long in the tooth, getting a lot of run, or you're talking about Tommy Togiai, who is kind of just come out of nowhere, I mean, those guys are playing well above expectations. And then the guys that they're filling in with, I didn't even have time to look it up, but who's 91, and then the Samoan guy with the long hair that they brought in there, another guy didn't jump off the tape, but really
solid.
They
needed to do, yep.
Really solid, by the way. Wearing 50 on the D-line. Another guy, he's earned the right.
He's earned a different number.
He's earned a new number, right? Those two guys, those two new guys, they've earned a new number. But I think those two key points on the defense, look, we know how great these guys are. We know how great this defense is. But there is some depth issues at that safety position. I think you feel better about Wallace. And then I think when you look at that interior defensive line, there were key moments where those guys are in there and there's not much of a difference. And then one thing that everybody already knew but just jumped off the tape is, I'm going to tell you, man, that NASCAR package or whatever you want to call it, of that defensive line with Daniil Hunter, Will Anderson, Denico Autry, and then I think 90 was in there with them.
Yep.
A lot of the time. That crew right there will get after your ass. There is a noticeable difference when those four guys are on the field together to when any of them aren't, right? Barnett had a good game, got a couple of sacks. Some of the Togi has some big moments inside. He's a big piece of what they do. But when those four pieces, Sheldon Rankins, Denico Autry, Will Anderson, and Daniil Hunter are on the field together, they are an absolute wrecking show. I mean,
they get third down opportunities. Yeah. They know they got to throw.
But there's no question they're going to wreck shop in that. But it's even when they're in there on early downs. I mean, they don't spend a lot of time on early downs because they're rotating, keeping guys healthy. But they are just problems. I mean, they're problems against the run. They're problems against the pass. I just have, as a Texans fan, I have zero concern about the interior defensive line being a problem. Now, we may get it ran on a little bit, but, I mean, in terms of it just be the fact you look at all the guys that you've lost. I mean, you've lost three of, I would say, to start the season, you lost three of your top four guys that would contribute on the interior defensive line, right? And you doesn't seem like you've lost a beat. So, the interior defensive line, good. Safety position, good. Didn't even seem to think about throwing Stingley's direction. We talked about the plays yesterday, the touchdown throws yesterday. I think one thing that's worth noting is the offensive line depth is significantly better today than it was at any point in time this season. I mean, Jarrett Patterson inside was really good.
There's a time you lose both tackles.
Yeah.
Like that, you got to swing some things around. There's some real concern.
Titus Howard at guard was really good. He even showed a physicality that he may have got, you know, they didn't typically have before at tackle, that he may have kind of grown into at that guard position early in this game. He was super physical in the run game a couple of times that I don't recall seeing a ton of that from him previously. So him and then obviously Blake Fisher at the left tackle. I think that's the story of the game. I mean, I think the story of the game, the best thing to come out of the game other than winning it is you can trust Blake Fisher and Titus Howard as really, really, really good tackle depth. I mean, you're four tackles that you can win football games with, that you can protect your quarterback with in a big way. You're four deep.
You ready to get there with Blake? You ready to get there after?
Oh, I'm not ready for it. I mean, but if
it was a lot better than we thought. Yeah.
I'm a lot more comfortable today. You know, the other thing I think about just watching this offense, Ron, is, and I think a lot of what people, you know, the instant reaction, immediate reaction from the game, I think a lot of that is fairly accurate. You know, but one thing that's obvious on film is whatever the communication problem is, it's a lot worse than you would think, than it should be at this point. I mean,
you're talking about protection.
You got running backs going the wrong way on runs. You got running backs going the wrong way on screens. You've got CJ is a lot of times is the one directing some of that traffic and not fixing it. I mean, it was Nick Chubb went the wrong way on a screen one time. Their execution of the screen game for a team that is so damn detail-oriented and so swarmy, if you will, on the defensive side of the football, the offense absolutely stinks.
We don't like that.
From just a – like their screen game, they probably ran four, five, six screens. And, I mean, they can't get the timing down. They got guys going the wrong way. They can't get the linemen. The right linemen are running into the running back. I mean, it's just – it is wild to watch how bad this team is, this offensive unit is in the screen game.
That spans over a couple of years.
Yeah, they're so well coached on the defensive side of the football. It's just like, how is that not a huge advantage for them on the offensive side of the football? I bet they ran five or six screens, and I bet four of them, either somebody went the wrong way, the O-line runs into the running back, you know, the design was pissy poor on the Christian Kirk screen that went for minus 4 yards. I mean, it is wild to see how bad they are in the actual screen game that they do attempt to run. And then another thing on CJ Stroud, I think CJ missed a couple of throws, you know, in pressure situations. There were a couple of opportunities for CJ to bust it wide open. You know, the bullet route down the sideline to Woody. I don't know if you remember that one, but down the left sideline to Woody, he's getting pressured. We get a big defensive end, number 98, on Woody on a bullet route.
Oh, he was jumping up and down.
It is exactly what you wanted. And CJ drifts too long.
Well, didn't somebody come off free?
There was a free runner. But, I mean, the ball should have been out, I mean, a full second before it was out. I mean, and you got to lay that thing down. You got 98. You got a big number 98 trying to run with. I mean, just get it out. You can throw it too far inside. You can throw it, overthrow it. You just can't throw it 4 or 5 yards short and outside the run. Like that. Those are plays that big-time quarterbacks make and bust that game right there wide open. And we're not talking about the interceptions. We're talking about, you know, the touchdowns. The interceptions, by the way, just unacceptable. Both of them were. The first one was picked, whether it was tipped or not. The second one, he just threw right to a safety, and Christian Kirk ain't scaring nobody out of their back pedal, and so he just sat on that route, and CJ threw it right to him. So, but there were a couple of moments, man. There were a couple of moments in them kind of, you know, those drifting moments where CJ would drift, and throw it away, or drift, and just throw it, like the late one where he threw it up to 14, and he underthrew it, right?
I mean, that where ball, he didn't take a sack, but he put it in harm's way. Right. Yeah.
Well, the ball should have been high into the corner.
Was it zero blitz? And
the receiver gets inside, and he's clearly over the top of the DB. And he had plenty of time to see all that. Stick his foot in the ground, throw it high. I mean, anything, overthrow it to the back pylon. And instead, he threw it early short. But those are just throws where, you know, your top-tier quarterbacks in this league are making those throws, and this is never – these games are out of reach with your defense anyway. I mean, but with those throws, you're getting big time quarterback talking. And I think there were a couple of those schemed up and available, and CJ didn't make those throws.
Yeah. You knew especially in the second half, the offense was going to be probably a tough watch, but like you said, the defense, they did their thing and was able to hold things down in that game. A little tape drop Tuesday. As the Texans get a dub, they punch their tickets into the postseason. Coming up, you talked about one part of this that I think we need to talk about a little bit more. And one player specific that I want to talk about in regards to the offensive line. Let's discuss that.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Our tackles, right? I got to give credit to Titus. All right, Titus has been the guard. He flips back over the right tackle, steps in, did a really nice job. And Blake Fisher, for his first start of the year, I mean, he did a great job stepping in there, really securing the edge of the line. Like, he didn't allow those guys to get a lot of pressure. Like, he blocked well, he finished well, he played with some grit, some toughness. So I was very pleased with what he was able to do there. And overall, for the second week in a row, not to give up a sack.
All right, that's D'Amico Ryans talking about his offensive line and the leader of his offensive line. And Clint, I wasn't here when you were previewing the game Friday.
Okay.
And so I don't really know the ins and outs of what your thoughts were going into it. But as he talked about it, no sacks. Now, there were some pressures, but still, zero sacks in the game. We routinely watch them get, you know, 4 and 5 last year, but zero sacks in the game. Rush for 118 yards, and what they have been able to do late, they've been able to get some yards. And you do this without, as he's kind of talking about there, without your tackles. No Brown, who you could argue is one of the biggest turning points of the season, is when Trent Brown was in the lineup. Ursary, who had been playing better. And they did this with Blake Fisher, and hold on to your nipples. Many of you had to be concerned at him at left tackle. I mean, this is Austin Deculus territory. But he comes in there, doesn't give up a pressure. Patterson, Andrews, Ingram, Titus Howard. That was the line. Were you surprised? How surprised were you their performance in this game?
Oh, I was very surprised.
Yeah, it was going to be a big problem.
I thought that it would be manageable. I thought they would be good enough for, you know, again, the bar is very low for this offense. You don't have to score a lot of points. So I thought they would be good enough to help them score some points. I thought that there was, you know, with the tight ends, we're in a lot of 12 personnel, so having tight ends, you know, on either in the attached to the tackle at the line of scrimmage or in that hip position, both of those, we spend a lot of time there. It's easy for us to get there, and so I figured if they needed to help, it wouldn't be a big issue. I had no idea that they would play this well. No sacks. Again, ran the ball in critical situations when everybody knew you were going to run the ball. They ran it well, got big time push, played physical, and never, you know, the pressures.
Hell, Juice Scruggs had to go in for a bit because that Ingram got rolled up on.
I mean, the pressures that got through, a lot of them were unblocked guys. A couple of them were, you know, the interior guys getting turned sideways. But yeah, man, I thought. Really having ultimately three new offensive linemen in there. I know Titus went from left guard to right tackle. That's like having a whole different position, a whole different side of the ball. So that's like having a new person over there. So, I mean, three new offensive linemen in the game and to go out there and perform like that, yeah, I thought it exceeded expectations. Exceeded my expectations in a major, major way.
Yeah, I thought they were going to have some problems there with Khalil Mack, Owe, the other guys, the Pro Bowler for him. 45, I can't think of his name right now, but outside of blitzing, that was seemed to be the only way that they were able to really get a lot of pressure, or as you said, just unblock guys. And I ain't gonna lie to you, fellas, in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, your thoughts on this offensive line performance. But I rewatched the first half again this morning, and Clinton Tyler, it's hard for me to watch Titus Howard out there play tackle.
Hold on, so.
For good reasons, right?
He's good reasons. He's clearly this team's best tackle. And I don't deny it with you. It took me a little while to come around with it. But Trent Brown, that was a big move for more than just off the field stuff. And that has solidified it. But then you go out there and you see that Big Joker, who is a hell of an athlete. I mean, they were leaving him by. He ain't played tackle in weeks. They're leaving him by himself with above average pass rushers. And he is. There was one where he just screened Khalil Mack right down, an easy place for CJ to step up. I think him even playing inside maybe over the last couple of years has improved his physicality because he ran Tier Tart's ass 10 yards on a run, but just out, like, obviously they found what has worked for them, and if they can get these guys back in, they get them back in, but they have got to figure something out. That dude, it is so weird that this team's best tackle is playing his worst position. And then when you go out there and you bring him out there, I literally watched him every play. Went back, first half, watched him every play. And I mean, he is clearly speed rush, power rush, They tried to step outside and then to come back inside. He washed their asses right in there. I'm like, God, dog.
Bad MF-er.
Like, I wonder, is there an argument? Is Patterson better than him at guard? Because I think he's the best tackle to me. It's weird that he's not playing tackle. Not saying it hadn't worked. But how good a guard is he better than Patterson at guard? Because I think it's his worst position that he plays. Because to me, there's an argument that Patterson's actually a better guard than Titus is. And you go out there, just go back and watch that. If you're bored, I understand. You want to move on. But go back, you watch, like, I'm like, damn, man. what is happening to get that guy
it's a good look, it's a good problem to have for the Texans. I mean, your question, because what makes it all interesting is that it doesn't appear that your guard situation is anywhere near as bad as you thought it was when you actually had to move Titus down there.
Yep.
Right? Ed Ingram has been one of the better guards, according to advanced stats, been one of the better guards all year long, right? And so the thought was, well, man, Lake and Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs rotating over there. I mean, them guys are terrible. So, hell, I guess we got to move. We got to move Titus down there. But then all of a sudden, a month or so ago, 5 weeks or whatever it was, Patterson gets a little run in there at guard. And you're like, pretty good. I'm confident in there. And now he gets more run in there and he looks better. I think Titus Howard is better at guard for one reason.
Than Patterson.
Is that what I said?
You think he's better at guard?
Yes, I think he's a better option at guard because I think you solidify that front. Patterson can get it done, and I think you can win with Patterson. And I think you can play to Patterson's strength. He is a guy that's got better feet than most. He moves. He's quicker. He plays with his weight well. He plays all gas, no brakes. But I think you eliminate your guard getting put in a quarterback's lap when you got Titus Howard out. I think your center might get put in the lap every now and then, but you eliminate either guard getting put in the lap of the quarterback when you got Titus Howard in there. And I think that is ultimately, it's more of one of those, like, it is a solid move. It's not a move that, boy, you just all of a sudden got significantly better at guard. It's just when you've got him at guard and you've got Erstery and Trent Brown at tackle, I think you are very solid up front. And I hate to say it because I hate when they use the phrase, but I do believe that's their best five right now. But to your point, I wouldn't hate it.
Maybe something, but like, they've got to do something where that dude is playing tackle.
Well, if he's going to be
here long term,
they may be forced to do it because you got Trent Brown's got a hand and a knee, and now you got Ariante Erstery, who I thought it was up now, in the I air whether argue he would if, play
if,
or not.
I'm not going to argue if Trent Brown is help can go this year,
right?
They've got to. But down the line, man. Your best tackle can't be playing guard.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, Ron, to your point, what do they do when it's win or go home? And what do they do when a couple guys are banged? They can play, but they're banged up. One's got to play with a club. One of them's 380 pounds. They may have to play with a bum knee. And all the while, you got a Patterson who's healthy and a Titus Howard, because Titus can play either tackle.
I'm just like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they can't get around this joker.
That's it, man.
Like, no matter what they do, speed rush, power rush, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I watched him. I think they could mess with his money. I think he could have been a Pro Bowler.
I agree.
I think he could have been a Pro Bowler at right tackle.
I agree.
If he played there all season long. All right, let's go around the horn a little bit with a little college football playoff. As finally, games that actually matter get started tomorrow, and then also obviously New Year's Day. We'll take a look at all of these big games coming up as the college football playoffs get rolling again tomorrow. That's coming up next right here.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're live on the drive.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Tuesday. Someone texted in, is it a Ticket Tuesday? No, it's not. It's not a Texans Ticket Tuesday. It was last week.
It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
It is not. It is not. Tuesday. Yeah, it is. It is not. It is not. Just a regular Tuesday. Good times to be had, though. A regular Tuesday that leads into a Wednesday, and Wednesday being New Year's Eve, tomorrow, college football playoffs get back and rolling. And the games are a lot of people are feeling good about. Now, you got some of those teams that many people believe that deserve it out the way. And now you got...
I know what you're doing.
I was meeting James Madison and... Not A&M.
I'm sensitive right now, okay?
Talking about James
wearing Madison. This damn Aggie shirt.
Just talking about James Madison and Tulane is what I was referencing.
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. The anger sharks are swimming in my head.
But no, man, it gets going. I want to go through some of these games and get your thoughts on some things, Clint. The Cotton Bowl gets going in Dallas or Arlington, wherever the hell it is. It gets going tomorrow. And it's a standalone game, and it's Miami and Ohio State. And a lot of people still believe Ohio State's the best team in the country. Clint, I think we both have kind of some wonders about that when you look. They just haven't played, you know, a great schedule. They played two teams, and to be honest, they haven't really looked great. Like, great. They beat Texas, but then they lost low-scoring games to Indiana. But... the big news going to this game is Ryan Day, the head coach, he is taking over play calling. Panic move, surprising move. You think this is – how do you think this fares, Ryan Day deciding to take
over? What led to that? I don't know the background.
I know,
their
OC is going –
Hartline? He left – where'd he go? USF?
USF, but he's still supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Throughout, but Ryan Day has decided to take over.
I think it has more to do with that. Like when you're taking over a new program, your offensive play caller's taking over a new program, you're in two different places. And when your play caller is going somewhere to be a first time head coach, he's obviously gonna be number one priority. Now we're watching what's going on at Ole Miss and LSU, and Lane Kiffin has been vocal, just can't help but be in the spotlight. But he's been vocal about letting his offensive coordinator at LSU next year stay with the Ole Miss team and do Ole Miss things. And so that's offensive coordinator to offensive coordinator, right? When you're looking at Ohio State, Hartline's going to be a head coach. And so splitting those duties, I just think this is probably the right thing to do for Ryan Day, is to take the play call and duty, take complete command of the offense and not have someone with one leg in, one leg out. Understandably so, but to create a little bit of consistency there and continuity there, and
it's also not like he's not great at it. That's how he got the job.
Been pretty good. been pretty damn good.
That's how he got the job. Yeah. I expect him to be more aggressive. To be honest with you, his team's more open. Seem to be more opened up.
Yeah.
And they were more of a run team this year, even though they've got two top 10 pick receivers on this team. I think we could see a more aggressive point scoring on Ohio
State. The Julian Sayin kid that was ended up fourth in the Heisman race and Heisman voting. I mean, look, he's a good player, but he's a young player. And so I think they're going to be conservative offensively, even though they got those horses you talked about. They're really good on defense, obviously, so they could be conservative. I would look for this, for Miami to be in their second week in a row in the college football playoffs, to be in a low scoring, more conservative approach. It's more about who makes the mistakes than it is who makes the big plays. And now the game may dictate something different than that, and there may just be better horses in the stable at Ohio State than there is at Miami, or vice versa. But right now, I would suspect that this is going to be a low-scoring game. Everything's going to be played tight to the vest.
That's how both teams have played.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't. Well, I like Miami getting 9.5.
Yeah, yeah. That is. Yeah, their defense. We saw them. Sorry, Tyler, at College Station, hold that offense down. And they play their defensive line. Their front seven is really, really good, Miami. And so I could see that being a low scoring game, because when they have played really good teams with really good guys, they've been that way with Indiana and Texas as well. All right, the Orange Bowl. It kicks off the New Year's Day games. Oregon at Texas Tech, which will be in Miami. My biggest question in this game, Clint, is Texas Tech, have they been tested enough in this thing? Right? They've got three wins against top teams, and it's two teams. It's Utah and it's BYU. Outside of that, they don't have a lot of big tests on their schedule. And that, to me, is the concern. Will this feel, because Oregon's got some dudes out there, will this be a step up from the competition they've been seeing?
Well, I think every year, whoever comes out of the Big 12, unfortunately, it's just a reality, no disrespect, but whoever comes out of the Big 12, and really the ACC, if we're being honest at this point, but the Big 12 is going to be doubted. It's going to be, the storyline's going to be, hey, man, have they been tested? Hey, can they handle the big dudes, the bigger programs that are year in, year out in the hunt for a national title? Can they do that? And look, I think Indiana's the same way. Now, they proved on the big stage in the Big Ten championship that they can stand toe to toe with them in a conference championship. Now, can you do it for four straight? Right? Can you do it for three straight, or whatever, however many it's going to take? We'll see. The bigger question here for me is with Texas Tech, as you mentioned, are they for real? Have they been tested? But hell, personally, I ain't seen a couple snaps of Oregon, and I've seen mock drafts that got their quarterback being the first quarterback taken. Yeah. So I'm anxious to see.
They played a tight one with Indiana.
Yeah.
And that was their, and I remember that Penn State game before Penn State fell apart. That was at that time two top five teams, so that was a big win for them. They're a little bit more tested, right? You could say, all right, they've played the number one team in the country in Indiana. So they've got a game against, and we've seen them play against teams like USC's got good talent. Texas Tech, like you said, that Big 12 is just, it's just different right now. And BYU and Utah are the only other teams in that conference that you look at. And we'll see, because they have been really, really good. And a lot of experts love Texas Tech and have loved Texas Tech all year long, and their defense is really for real, and they got a little bit more healthy at the quarterback position. All right, the Rose Bowl, Alabama and Indiana. Indiana, the number one team in the country, undefeated. They are a 7.5-point favorite in this game. Should number one Indiana be on serious upset alert?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they, like I said earlier, they proved a lot in the Big Ten championship game for me. No more disrespecting them. This is about Alabama. I think Alabama is potentially the best team in the field and potentially could get blown out by 20 plus. Ty Simpson is as good as there is in the field when they protect him. And when you look at their pass catchers, I mean, Ryan Williams last year was one of the best players.
He can't catch nothing.
I mean, he ain't on the field half the time. I had a damn over bet in catches. I needed 3.5 catches out of his ass.
He probably dropped
last
two.
Week. Yeah, I mean, it's wild, man. And you think, well, that would hurt him. Well, no, they found two, three more guys. So, you know, I think in Alabama being tested last week in Oklahoma, going on the road, getting down 17-0 and coming back against that defense, one of the best defenses in football, right there with A&M's defense. They came back and won that thing and won it in an impressive fashion. So Alabama is the wild card here, man. I think I know what we're going to get. out of Indiana. But Alabama could go out there and just be a far superior team with more speed. And I know the other kid won the Heisman, but I think Ty Simpson's got a higher ceiling. So
yeah, they don't really overpowered. Like when you watch them,
yeah.
Like I said, they went on the road and beat Oregon. They beat Ohio State at home. They had that, you know, their real tight game against Penn State, yep. That crazy game.
Indiana, you're talking about.
Indiana, yep. But they don't just overpower teams, right? Like yep. they're good. They're solid all the way around, but you could see a team like Alabama. Because Alabama, they got better dudes. Now, I don't know if they're as well coached or as experienced as these guys are. But from a recruiting and talent standpoint, they've got better dudes. So we'll see. Last year, Clint, all four of the teams that had byes lost. And I get the feeling with Georgia, Indiana, Ohio State, and Texas Tech. Now, this did get shifted a little bit. I get the feeling that won't happen this year.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. I mean, it's but that long layoff, man. What was it? Was it?
It has been a long stretch.
Yeah, I mean, there's 10. There's gonna be 10 or 11 days between the first and second round, and then the teams that got the bye didn't play for another 6-7 days before that.
Yeah, luckily for them, they at least played in conference championship games. Yeah. So they did play a couple of weeks ago, but that's the latest as this thing gets started. And now over the next few weeks, man, it's about to get real, real good in college football. The best time, and you got good teams. Whatever matchups happen, are going to be good ones coming up. D'Amico Ryans had a comment about clutch moments. His team stepping up in clutch moments. Do you view when you watch the Texans? Do you view them as a clutch team? When you're watching them late in these games, are you with the feeling and confidence they're going to pull this out? They're going to find a way. Is that where you are right now when you watch this team? We'll discuss that coming up.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.